Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So some experts had concluded that coal consumption peaked in 2013. And it has since surpassed that level 3 years in a row now. And they are now have abandoned all of their projections relative to coal use. And they believe that it will increase through at least 2027. Contrary to what climate czar John Kerry had predicted about Beijing, meaning China, with solar and wind investments, China now consumes 30% more coal than the rest of the world combined. And these projections are changing fast, and folks are abandoning almost every prediction that they made on the coal front. And here to talk to us about it is Diana Furchcott-Roth, Director of the Center for Energy, Climate, and Environment at the Herbert and Joyce Morgan Fellow in Energy and Environmental Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Diana, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Neil.
So, Diana, is it true that we just completely missed this target, as people are saying, totally?
Well, I don't think there's any reason that we need to be using less coal, Neil. I think that's a fundamental fallacy. Politics is full of surprises. No one knew that Russia was going to invade Ukraine. No one knew that Iranian-backed Hamas was going to invade Israel. But we should have control over our energy. We should not have surprises over our energy. And the reason that China is burning more coal is because that's what China has. It doesn't have oil and natural gas the way we do. And we should be using our oil and natural gas. We should not be shying away from using our coal, which, with scrubbers to go on top of the coal-fired power plants, is clean. We have clean coal now.
So I kind of feel like we were completely bamboozled by this climate czar, John Kerry. I mean, almost every prediction that he has made has turned out to be not true in a very short period
exactly.
of time.
Yeah. Right. And it was on one of his visits to China, by the way, that President Xi said that President Xi was not going to stick to the Paris Agreement that China had previously agreed on, and that China was going to peak emissions on its own timetable, not on a Western timetable. So China, which is the largest consumer of coal in the world, wants to continue to use coal. And they're not going to listen to John Kerry telling them that they shouldn't be using coal.
But Kerry came back and told us that we should be proud of the advances that Beijing had made as it related to their climate policy. It was just talk?
It's just talk, yeah. I mean, that's one thing politicians are really good at, Newell. They're really good at talk. They're really good at spin. And it's true that China has been building more wind and solar. If you think that's something to congratulate China on, the way John Kerry does, you can congratulate China on it. But China's also building about one or two coal-fired power plants a week because China has coal and it wants to electrify its transportation system because it doesn't have oil and natural gas the way we do. It cannot make gasoline the way we can here in the United States. So they want to electrify everything so that they have these big power plants, they operate the electricity grid, and people drive EVs that are charged up through the electricity grid by using their coal. Do you follow? Is that clear?
Yo, absolutely. I mean, they're going to do what's in their own best interest. They're going to take the path of least resistance and what
exactly.
makes economic sense to them, right? Now, we, on the other
exactly.
hand, for the last 4 years, have been salmon swimming upstream as it relates to energy.
Right. We need to do what's in our own best interest. And our own best interest is using the oil and natural gas that God gave us here in the United States and not becoming dependent on China by switching to solar and wind power, which are more expensive, which caused a deterioration in our grid.
So, Diana, I guess you read that Wall Street Journal article, the billionaire mining magnate who bet coal had a future and won big. Yeah. And as I read through this article, it was very well written, well done. John Emon is the author. I don't know him. Maybe you do. Lo Tuck Kwong, the 76-year-old businessman who is behind one of Asia's largest coal mining complexes.
Yes.
He is now on the Forbes 100 richest people. He wasn't even close before. His wealth is estimated to swell to $28 billion from $1 billion in like about 3 to 4 years.
I mean, yes.
It's absolutely incredible. All on the back of coal. And I think he saw exactly what you said, is that these folks are not going where everybody say they're going. They're going right back to coal because it's the cheapest energy available to them, right?
Yes, and also because the demand for electricity is going to continue to rise. People want more electricity. People want to charge their phones. They want to use data centers. People who don't have air conditioning want to have air conditioning. People who don't have heating want to have heating. There's 3 billion people in the world without electricity and running water. And I can assure you that they want electricity and running water, and that their health will be immeasurably improved by having electricity and running water.
So our approach has been, as is pointed out in the article, and I'm just going to read it, the U.S. and other wealthy countries have offered billions of dollars in financing to encourage such developing countries as Indonesia, Vietnam, South Africa to retire their coal plants in favor of green energy. But the skeptical leaders there in the developing world say aid, mostly loans, isn't enough to overhaul their energy grids while saddling them with debt. You know, what's amazing to me is that we tried to engage in a policy that all of these folks that we're trying to convince recognize it's BS. It ain't going to work for
us. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Why would we keep going back to that well? I don't understand.
I even had the head of a German automotive trade association come and see me yesterday and assure me that Africa can manage perfectly well on solar. Well, there's no way that these African countries can power the manufacturing they need to raise their standards of living with solar energy alone. And solar energy needs batteries as backups. It's like having two systems. You have a solar system, you have a battery system. And a solar system might work fine for someone out on a farm who wants to maybe have a hot water heater or something, but it doesn't work for giant manufacturing plants, which is what Africa needs to raise its own standard of living. And it's really racist saying that these developing countries can manage on wind and solar after the West has industrialized using fossil fuels. It's racist.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we want them to stay in the landscape of status quo and not improve their quality of life and everything else, yeah, it's perfectly fine. We'll throw up some solar panels. We'll in fact, give it to them, right?
Yeah. I mean, basically saying you're fine in your village. You don't need to aspire to more.
Which you know, it's interesting how we speak out of both sides of our mouths sometimes, because that's totally contrary to what we believe in this country.
Exactly. Yes.
So where do we go from here? I mean, you know, how much longer do we do folks buy into this boondoggle? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be where do we go from here? I think that these countries are taking their own paths. Whatever we say here, China is building more coal-fired power plants. Other countries are looking to buy more natural gas, putting in nuclear power plants, using whatever resources they have to get ahead economically. These ESG funds are failing. People are dropping out of them because without fossil fuels, these funds do not do as well as other funds. So we might say everything we want about ESG, about the benefits of wind and solar, but if you look at what people are doing in practice, they're not listening to us. They're doing what's in their own self-interest, which is what they should be doing. Because climate change is a future risk that has to be managed. Poverty is with us right now. We need to be dealing with the reality of poverty now and adapting to a potential future risk. If the world is getting warmer, we need more air conditioners. these headlines saying Baltimore hitting record temperatures, climate change measures needed. No, people in Baltimore need air conditioning.
Yeah, people are dying because of the heat there. Yeah. And then on the eve of leaving inside the Beltway, the Biden administration is handcuffing us with all of these measures, whether it's gas, hot water heaters, and the elimination of drilling on so many different waterfronts. I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on. And what's interesting to me is that so many different countries and their governments are in transition. I was just talking to our state treasurer about this right before you came on. We're in transition on so many different fronts. And one of the issues that is driving all of this, and we saw this with Justin Trudeau in Canada, climate policy. Canadians are recognizing they're taxing us to death on this climate policy, green energy thing, and none of us are reaping the benefits of any of this, and they're confused.
That's absolutely right, Newell. And if you look at where people are moving, there's so many people moving to Texas, and Texas has above average temperatures. If you look at the United States as a whole, people want to go to warmer Texas. They want to go to Louisiana. They don't want to go to New England. New England is losing people, even though its temperatures are lower. So where people go doesn't depend on where the temperatures are in that particular state. It depends on the conditions of growth in that particular state.
So from a policy perspective, I know you guys have probably been following what the Biden administration is doing, trying to handcuff the incoming administration. Will the incoming administration be successful in beating back a lot of this stuff?
I believe it will, because a lot of these last-minute regulations can be rolled back with the Congressional Review Act or through other means. So I believe it will. But I think there's a more fundamental problem, which is President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris have been calling the Republicans anti-democratic. It's been a drumbeat. The Washington Post has a headline, "Democracy Dies in Darkness." But here they have just faced a rejection, a massive rejection of all their policies. They've lost the White House. They've lost the House. They've lost the Senate. And what are they doing? They're doubling down on their agenda. They're saying, we got to future-proof our agenda, even though it's absolutely clear that the American people don't want it. That's anti-democratic, if anything was.
Yeah, to future-proof our agenda. We don't really care what the voters say when they go to the polls any longer, right?
Exactly. That's what they're trying to do. That's what they say they're doing. They say they're future-proofing it. But the American people are too smart. They're not buying 70% of new vehicles as EVs. They're not going for these electric water heaters. They want to keep their natural gas stoves. So I think the common sense of the American people is going to prevail. And as George Orwell says, there's some ideas that are so absurd only an intellectual would believe them. And depending on wind and solar is one of those.
I'm glad you reminded me of that one. I totally forgot about it. I mean, it's so true on so many different fronts, right?
Yeah.
Well, Diana, thank you so much for joining us. I just, when I read this article, I just felt like I've been completely bamboozled on this front, especially as it relates to coal, and that coal production and coal utilization is going up, and now all of the folks that said nah, it's going away are now changing all of their predictions because it's not. And
we also need to look at their predictions for a just transition to net zero. That's not happening either. We need to look at their predictions for an end to natural gas use. That's not going to happen either. We're going to have more natural gas. We're not going to end fossil fuels. And even if we did, it wouldn't make any difference to the climate. If we ended in Western Europe, in the United States, it only makes a difference of 0.3°C by the year 2100.
And the one thing we know for sure is we do it better, safer, cleaner, more efficiently than anyone else in the world. We're not going to stop them from doing it, but we could be dominant here, and we could protect the world by doing more here domestically, right?
We definitely could, yes, yes. And we have reduced our carbon emissions. If we care about that, we've reduced it by 1 billion metric tons over the past 15 years, whereas in China, it's gone up by 5 billion metric tons. Moving our energy-intensive manufacturing from Western Europe and the United States to China does not reduce global emissions. And people who care about these global emissions shouldn't pretend that it does.
Yeah, mind-boggling for sure. Diana Furchtcott-Roth, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great weekend.
It's great to be with you. Bye.
Thank you so much. Diana Furchtcott-Roth is the director of Center for Energy, Climate, and Environment at the Herbert and Joyce Morgan Fellow in Energy and Environmental Policy at the Heritage. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.